Praise God. Lord, we are thankful that we can be here. Thankful that we can gather in your name. Thankful, Lord, that you love us and care for us, comfort us, provide for us. Lord, you carry us through difficult situations and you bring us unto yourself. You raise up a testimony. And Lord, we want to be that testimony. We want to participate in your testimony, that you would be glorified in this place, in this world. Lord, that those who do not know you would see you and come to the light. Lord, I ask particularly for the message and that you would sort out all the thoughts and the things that are before me. And Lord, I ask that you would give light and life to it. And Lord, it is your ministry, it is your heart that we want to see, that we want to have ascending within us. Lord, in your precious name I pray. Amen. I want to remind you of some time ago, I shared a message, and I don't even know exactly how long ago it was, months. And the main emphasis was John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Lord came that we might have life abundantly. And that is something that stuck out to me, because throughout my Christian walk for decades, you know, it sure didn't seem abundant. It seemed like I was much more struggling than I was abundant in his life. And I have come to see that the Lord has, and I know you all know this, I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard, but he has his hand on all these things. He has his hand on the timing. He has his hand on the events that happened. He has his hand on his word and how it comes to life within us. And so I thank him for that. And I wanted to try to understand and to share what I see in the scripture about this abundant life. Our brother Ed and Paul have used the term the exchange life, and it is the same thing. There may be some slight differences in how you interpret it, but it is life that is in the Spirit. It is abundant far beyond life in this world, and vastly different than life as we see it in this world. And as I studied and pursued that, I talked about, and I've shared it a number of times, about our brother Abraham and his coming to God. When God called him, he believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And there are so many things in the word that we hear and we have understanding of that are very, very important, but also there are things that we think we understand in our minds, but we don't necessarily see them in the Spirit. And I'm not trying to... The last thing I want to do is to tell you, do your spiritual exercises and work harder. Because that has nothing to do with it. It is the Lord's work. It is his power. It is his purpose. And I want us to see in the Word That's what I've been trying to come up to, just the last few times I've spoken, tried to point out how it is that the Lord is moving, how it is, and what we see and what we hear. And I came to the book of Romans, and Phil and I were talking this morning. He's studying Romans as well. And you know, I've said this before, but I want to remind you, I really believe that the book of Romans is unique in many ways, but it is unique in the way that Paul reveals himself and how he thinks and what he has seen and what he understands. And maybe I'm oversimplifying that. I know it's not that he's not sharing of himself in the other epistles, but this one seems to have a great deal about living life in this place. And particularly was interested because I've struggled so long myself with an increased understanding, a new understanding of what he's talking about in chapter 7, that we do struggle. We struggle in our condition. And what's our condition? Our condition is that we've believed in the Lord Jesus. That's who Paul is talking about, I believe, himself here in chapter 7. He believes in the Lord Jesus, but he can't seem to be changed. He can't seem to do the things that he knows he's supposed to do about that are written in the book, that are written in the law. And he can't do it on his own. He's struggling. He's saying, "For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh." Well, we're condemned, as it were, to the flesh in this life and in this place. That's the way we are. That's where we find ourselves. And we want to live differently. We want to be, because we've met the Lord and we've seen him and we've seen things about him. We've read his word. We know the things that come up within ourselves that we don't want there, but they are there. And we want to be rid of them. We want the Lord to deal with them. And some things he just deals with. Some things he leaves for us to struggle with. And that's not because he's unkind. He wants us to know him. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to live a life that is abundant. And of course, that life is a spiritual life. That is a life that the Lord Jesus lived in this place. When he walked the earth, he walked as a man, but he walked as a spiritual man. He was not, he was sinless. He felt all the things that we feel, but without sin. So what's Paul telling us here? So he's struggling in his condition. He's struggling in chapter 7 of Romans, verse 19, "For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me." Don't overlook what that says. That means what it says. Sin dwelling in us is doing things that we don't want to do. "The good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish." I struggle with that, but he is the one who is dealing with me. I am no longer the one doing it because I have been saved. I want to go on. But sin that dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law in the inner man. I mean, you can't say that this is not a believer. He joyfully wants to do the things that the law tells us, that God tells us. We want to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. And we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. We want to. But it's difficult. There are distractions. There are things that we struggle with. I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And of course, that is the cry of our heart. We don't want to be this way. We don't want to walk in the ways of death. We want to take those things to death. Nail them to the cross, as it were. Let the Lord take them to the cross and deal with them. And so it will be. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh the law of sin. So this struggle is going on. And we want that to be over. It's not going to be over until the Lord deals with it. It's not going to happen because I want it to, or because I try hard, or because I devote more time to this or do that thing. You know, we are desperate for some measure to say, you know, I've been changed. I want to be good to widows and orphans. I want to give to missionaries to go and spread the gospel. I want to talk to my neighbor. You know, those are all things that the Lord would have that will flow from us as we are filled with His life. He says, there is now, therefore, in chapter 8, there is now, therefore, wonderful words, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, another thing I shared, and it's further on in chapter 8, do not let the enemy make you wonder about, well, am I really, if I'm doing this stuff, am I really in the Lord Jesus? Yes, you are. You are. Don't let your mind talk you out of it. He is able to bring forth life because of the key words there, we are in Christ Jesus. We are in Him. And it's not something, you know, that's what Abraham found. I mean, when you look at Abraham, he didn't have the law. He had a relationship with Jesus, with God. God came and spoke to him, and He didn't give him a series of laws. He said, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. Well, you know, straighten up and do that thing, and you got to do this offering and that offering. He didn't do any of that. God didn't say anything. He said, go where I tell you. He didn't even tell him where it was. I'm going to take you someplace. I'm going to take you to a land and establish you there. And he said, I will. I don't even know if he said it, but he did it, which is better than saying it. A lot of things I say I don't do. He did it. He walked with Jesus. He walked with God for years. By faith, he trusted, he believed. And that's what our life is to be like. We are to trust. We are to walk with Him in spite of this stuff that we struggle with, because we are in the Savior, the righteous one, the one who has overcome. That's not where I want to go. Verse 2 of chapter 8, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the requirement of the law," verse 4, "requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." In other words, we are made able to walk by God's Spirit, not by our doings, not by our deeds, not by what is written in the law. It's not what we do. It's who we are in. And that is a matter of faith. It is absolutely a matter of faith. It is not about me trying harder not to, well, you know, Pharisees thought they had it figured out. And they and the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount straightened them out. You know, the Ten Commandments tell us not to commit adultery. But the Lord said, it's not just about not being in the act. Same with murder. Do not murder. I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery. But as the Lord said, have you ever had lust in your heart? Have you ever had anger towards your brother? Well, I'm not your guy there. The Lord has dealt with those things. And he has placed us in Christ. And he has placed us in Christ. And this is kind of really what got me started here, is trying to understand this references to the law. There's the law that was given to Moses. There's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is the law of sin and of death. And there are other references, places of law that is... And I'm not going to try to explain it because I'm confused. But the fact is, the law is there unto God's purpose. And Ed has said this, and I've listened to it, and I didn't like it when I heard it, but I've come to believe that he's right, and maybe others have said it as well. You've heard it perhaps from somebody else. But in Galatians, it talks about casting out the bondwoman, right? And what we want to do is we want Sarah to be our mom, you know, the woman of faith, the mother of Isaac, not the bondwoman Hagar. And what Paul tells us in there is, don't, you know, that the bondwoman needs to be cast out. But the problem is, and the warning that we get is, don't be too hasty. Don't do it because you think so. Don't cast out the law because you think you're ready. Walk in the Lord by faith. Walk in the Lord by faith. Just trust him. Don't try to do anything. He will deal with it. He will cast out the bondwoman. He will make us, bring us under our mother of faith. The law is unto his purpose. It describes, this may help a little bit. I decided, well, if you're going to try to understand these verses, probably ought to understand what the words mean. And I pretty well thought I understood what law meant. Nope. I was really surprised. You know, I'm thinking about law. I think about law in the way that we think about the law. You know, we think about, well, things that, you know, the Congress passes laws and the executive branch enforces laws and the judicial branch judges laws. It's not like that. It is like that, but it's not like that. The point is, what the words mean is, in the law in the Greek, it means to parcel out. What does that mean? It's how God deals with things. That's the law. How he wants this life to be. When you look at the commandments, you know, my struggle in my humanness, in my law of sin and death infused mind, says, okay, God gives me a commandment, thou shalt have no graven image, and I think of, okay, what's the penalty? Why aren't I going to do this? In the Lord, we have no graven image because we are different. In Christ Jesus, we are made different. We don't have lust because we suddenly have overcome it. We can't stop lying. We can't stop being greedy. The Lord deals with it. The Lord wants us. The reason he puts it in the scripture, the reason he puts it in the law, is because that is the way it will be when he rules and reigns entirely. He wants us to see what he wants things to look like. And it's not just to look like. He wants them to be. He wants us not to have to struggle. We aren't going to have to struggle. We aren't going to want to lust in him. We aren't going to want to lie. We aren't going to want to be tempted. Well, I don't want to tell him this because he may not like me anymore, or I might lose my job, or I, you know, whatever. It's not like that. It is complete, absolute trust in the Lord, and he wants things to be as to that we might walk as the Lord Jesus walked. We're going to struggle with it. The only way it's going to happen is if we are in him. He is walking, we're in him. He is in us also. That's true. He is in there and he is changing us, and we are being changed from glory to glory. That is true. It's not that things are stagnant, that we're stuck exactly where we are right now, but the fact is there's going to be struggle. And our hope, our faith is in the fact that we are in him, period. We have no other point of faith. We have no other hope but that we are in him. The righteous one. The one whose blood was shed and that was sufficient, full and complete. He is able to open the scroll. He is worthy. So, I hope you will consider and perhaps look at some of these scriptures. There is a lot here. And the Lord wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to have abundant. He wants us to have that life that Jesus had when he walked on the earth. He doesn't want us to thrash about. Lord, guide us. Walk with us. Help us. Lord, help us to seek you and to find you. Lord, we want you to have your way with us entirely. And Lord, we don't want to be held down. We don't want to be held back by our concerns over what we do. We want to be in your light, in your life. We ask you, Lord, to bless your people. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together in unity, to hear your word, to worship you, Lord, to be drawn closer. And we thank you and praise you. In your precious name. Amen.